happened right before Jesus was crucified. And so, as I refresh your memory by reading to you a little bit from Matthew chapter 26, I want you to be thinking about one thing. What does this story teach us about ourselves? In other words, as I read this material to you, be asking yourself, what is this saying about the way people are? What is this showing us or revealing or displaying that is true about what it is like to be a person? So listen to this. Then Jesus told them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. And then do you remember what happens? He goes to the garden at Gethsemane. And he tells them, let's see here, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Peter's just given him these encouraging words, and that's how he feels. "I'll never disown you, Lord." And Jesus is overwhelmed with sorrow. "Stay here and keep watch." Then he went off and prayed. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. What is that showing us about ourselves? I'll give you an insight by quoting a newspaper article that came out about a year ago. And this is a true headline. This is not something out of The Onion or whatever. Listen to this. Headline: "Guy shoots himself while sleepwalking." Why do people keep loaded guns near their bed while they sleep? For every crime in progress this stops, another 3 or 4 guys probably shoot themselves while sleepwalking. Like this man, who shot himself in the knee. According to the Boulder Daily Camera, 63-year-old Sanford Rothman woke up at around 2 a.m. to a loud bang. He'd shot himself in the knee with a 9mm handgun he keeps by his bed. Rothman was treated at a local hospital and released. Do you see the connection? "I will never disown you, Lord." Oh, yeah? Right? What I want to point out to you is that there are two things going on in this story that relate to the Romans passage this morning. And they are, one, what we think about ourselves. "I will never disown you, Lord. Of course we'll stay up and pray." And then there's what God knows about us that is actually true. And it is that we disown him and we fall asleep at the worst moment. Well, do you see how it is that God looks upon this world of people? He sees the war that exists in our hearts. There is the person we want to be, and then there is the person we actually are. There's a line somebody said once: "Every morning I wake up and I look the enemy dead in the eye, and then I shave him." Well, this is the material that the Bible breathes life into and illuminates. And this is Paul's way of describing it in this morning's reading. "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind." Well, Paul, very insightfully, understands that in the heart of a human being, there is a kind of war. There is a divide, a kind of battle that we are all waging between the person we should be and the person we actually are. And it's the darndest thing, because wanting to be the person we should be doesn't seem to be enough to make the difference as far as the Bible is concerned. What do you call a person who says they'll do one thing and then does another? What do you call a person who does not practice what they preach? What's the word? It's hypocrite, right? You know this word, hypocrite. It is the word that everybody uses to condemn Christians. And it is what the Bible understands to be true about everybody. We are all, ever since the fall, hypocrites. At our core, we are incapable of being who we know we should be. And this is the problem with life. This is the main issue that everything else comes out of, this battle between what we should be and being our own worst enemy. It's the weirdest thing. And the Bible sees it clearly going on, and it sees people being clearly in denial about the fact. Let me give you another example. Do you remember the poem that Shel Silverstein wrote as a rebuttal to the story, The Little Engine That Could? It's called The Little Blue Engine. The Little Engine That Could was a story about a train who, I think I can, and he made it to the top of the hill. He wanted to, he knew he should, and he just believed in himself and he could make it. Well, this is what Shel Silverstein wrote. It sounds a little more like Matthew, or a little like Paul. The little blue engine looked up at the hill. His light was weak, his whistle was shrill. He was tired and small, and the hill was tall, and his face blushed red as he softly said, I think I can. So he started up with a chug and a strain, and he puffed and pulled with might and main, and slowly he climbed a foot at a time, and his engine coughed, and he whispered soft, I think I can. With a squeak and a creak and a toot and a sigh, with an extra hope and an extra try, he would not stop till he neared the top. And strong and proud, he cried out loud, I think I can. He was almost there when, crash, smash, bash, he slid down and mashed into engine hash. On the rocks below, which goes to show, if the track is tough and the hill is rough, thinking you can just ain't enough. Now, that's a little dark, a little cynical, a little pessimistic. But also, again, making this same point, right? I will never deny you, Lord. Oh, yeah? Have you ever experienced any of this in your own life, this battle, this disappointment? Have you ever let yourself down? Or let somebody else down in spite of the fact that you love them? I had an experience in 2000, the year 2000. I went to church for the first time in 7 years. And I was just coming through the tail end of a painful breakup. And I sat down in church and we read the prayer of confession out of the morning prayer service. And it is some old words that Thomas Cranmer, who sort of helped compile this book and helped us figure out what we should do on a Sunday, he had written down these words. He had sort of tried in his best attempt to summarize what Paul had been saying and what's actually true of people when they show up at church on a bad day. And this is what he said. This is what we all read sitting there in our church service. We have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. And I read those words, And I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, somebody living in the 1600s knows exactly what I'm going through right now. The relationship needs to end, and I can't let go of it. And he knew what it was like to be me in my heart. And you know where he got it? He got it from St. Paul and from passages like this in the scripture. I walked into church and I suddenly found out that Christianity, the Christian religion, understood John's all in the place where I was most real and most preoccupied and most frustrated. And that understanding alone actually made a huge impact. Without anything being done about the problem, without anything changing, just knowing that I had come to a place where being that way was acknowledged and understood spoke volumes. Have you ever told somebody about something you've been going through and they've been through it? And they didn't have to say a word for you to know that you were understood. What I'm trying to show is that there is a huge connection between feeling loved and feeling understood. And the Bible understands Peter better than he understood himself until after he denied Jesus 3 times. And it understood me better with all that I had been going through than I understood myself. I had erred astray. I had followed too much the devices and desires of my own heart. And it is into that dilemma that Paul writes these words. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what Paul is showing? That the Christian message is meant to slot right in to that divide in your life, right in to that place of unrest, right into that place where you are not able to fully be your own conqueror. And so this is an amazing message. This is an amazing religion that actually relates directly to the place where most people really, really live. At least where I really live. And I'll tell you, I had this moment, I said that prayer, and then I confessed, and then I was told that God forgave me. And then I never thought twice again about that girl. I was done. I had total freedom. Well, do you see what I'm trying to show you? This is the pattern. This is what happened to Peter. After he denied Jesus and Jesus said, come have breakfast. Feed my lambs. Right? Do you know what happened? He then completely misled the entire church of Jerusalem. And some smarty-pants upstart, Paul, had to come and straighten him out. And he said, you're right. And then you know what happened again? There was a big persecution going on of Christians. And Peter started to hightail it south out of Rome. And he met Jesus on the road. And Jesus said, where are you going? And he said, back to Rome. And that's where he died. This is something you will never fully graduate from, this problem. And this is a problem that God will never graduate from dealing with you and understanding in you and having compassion upon. This is why Jesus didn't, this is why Jesus came into the world instead of, God did not make all of us able to do what Jesus did. Instead, he pointed us to the one who was able to do what we can't do. There was one person who was not a hypocrite. Only one. He was never divided. It's this guy. And he walked the path of darkness, the thin line, to quote Bruce Springsteen. and said, honey, I'll walk it for you anytime. He did it for us, not in us, for us. And we receive no condemnation because of it. And the resolution to the divide in your life does not come from no longer being divided. I mean, that would be great. It would come from that if that were an option. I became a Christian, and I still liked Ben and Jerry's. Darn! You follow? The way the problem is dealt with in Christianity is it is forgiven again and again. And you know what that does? That makes you realize that where you are condemning yourself, God is not. God is not frustrated with you. God is understanding of you because he knows you can't beat the battles in your own skin. And so faith looks there to find the whole thing done, the whole thing finished. And you can now, therefore, live without feeling any condemnation. Do you need forgiveness again this morning, unfortunately? Do you need it for the first time this morning? Is the gig up? Are you done? Come to the one who knows and understands and died for you so that you could live in freedom in spite of being at war with yourself. Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing us better than we know ourselves and loving us in spite of that fact through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would set us free from all condemnation and help us to live in the delight that comes from knowing your Son and his forgiveness and the path he walked for us so that we might live and know you in joy. Amen.